بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. All praises to Allah, the creator of the universes and their sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his choicest blessings be on the seal of his prophets, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny. And in particular, may his unceasing blessings ever continue to flow on that Khamis-e Aal-e Aba, on the fifth in the household of the Holy Prophet, on the leaders of the martyr, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. This year we have dedicated the entire Ashura, the entire sitting of 10 or 11 nights, to the discussion about Imam Husayn alayhi salam. I deliberately do not say the life of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, because his, as you know, was a dedicated life. It was a life for Islam. It was a life for Muslims. And hence, we will be discussing really Islam when we discuss Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And I propose that, subject to what you will have to say and what suggestions you will make, and Alhamdulillah, one of you has already telephoned me this afternoon to make some suggestions, I propose to start, of course, tonight with the fadila of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, starting from his very birth. Because the birth of Imam Husayn alayhi salam was a fadila in itself, was an excellence by itself, as I hope we shall discuss this evening in a little more detail than that sweeping statement. And having discussed the birth and the various aspects of his fadila, what the Holy Prophet had to say about him, what the companions had to say about him, what A'imma alayhi salam had to say about him, but in particular his life, how he lived it, how he earned his livelihood, how he behaved with other people, what are the lessons we draw? Why do we say that a study of Imam Husayn alayhi salam is a study of Islam? These are aspects we tend to overlook. Not only his generosity, but in particular his piety, his teachings. I dare say, and you can see that I cannot stop myself saying this until I come to that night when we shall discuss this, but I dare say that the politics of today as we know it, the politics as the civilized nations, the superpowers of today enshrine in their codes of human rights, the very codes they infringe, but the very codes they have set out to teach, one can see those codes actually practiced by Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And his statements about those who sit on the fence, those who call themselves non-aligned, as we understand today. What does Imam Husayn alayhi salam talk about those fellows who call themselves non-aligned? What does he call those who actually are out to be unjust to what that category of people whom Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi called the mustada'afin? What is the role of mustada'afin? Indeed, the moment we discuss Imam Husayn alayhi salam, political concepts are scattered around, sprinkled all over the discussions, because his life was a political life. All through his life, it was a political life, teaching religion and ensuring the survival of Husayn, of Islam, within that political sphere in which he lived. How do we gauge the politics of today? Do we gauge it as a system that is just? Do we gauge democracy as a correct system for progress of mankind? What did Imam Husayn alayhi salam think about that? What did he teach about it? All those concepts that arise in his life, inshallah we shall discuss his life under Imam Ali alayhi salam, under Imam Hassan alayhi salam, his life when he was the Imam in his own right, and then the speeches that he made, which set out the Islamic political scenario as it should be practiced for the pleasure of Allah, and so that when man returns to Allah, he returns with good faith and hopeful of a good result. Those teachings enshrined in those speeches, the speeches he made, which we unfortunately do not have time to discuss because we are only concerned, in a way rightly, about his Messiah, the sufferings he went through. But those speeches that he delivered contain a wealth of information, not only about the man we are talking about, but the teachings of Islam and the way we have to behave, how the Kufians behaved with him, but how he left Makkah in a glorious manner. The speech he made in Medina, the speech he made in Mina before leaving Makkah, and then the progress he made between Makkah and Karbala, the stations, the meeting with Hur, in itself, everybody knows, is a gigantic step. That feat has always remained in golden words in history. But the speeches he made at that stage, the way he addressed the people at that stage, contain lessons for the man of today. Contain lessons which can make the man of today wonder whether democracy as he practices has served its purpose. Well, inshallah, I hope we discuss those. But inshallah, we shall also discuss the prophecies from the Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him and his progeny, the prophecies about the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And with that, inshallah, I shall start tonight, because the first prophecy came with the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But numerous other things were said by the Holy Prophet. How the companions reacted to those prophecies. How Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayh, reacted to those prophecies. And indeed, I hope to sum it all up by discussing the very purpose of these gatherings, what we call majalis. The philosophy of mourning. Why do we mourn him? Why do we weep on him? Is weeping on him bid'ah? Is it an innovation for which we shall answer Allah? Or is it an amal salih, as the Mawlana said in the other majlis, is it an amal salih for which we will receive reward from Allah? What did the Holy Prophet say about this? And about weeping on Imam Hussein alayhi salam? That broadly is my agenda as the nights will progress, so that we discuss these subjects one after the other. But of course, as I've always said, all that is subject to what you think, subject to what suggestions you want to make. And I'm open to those amendments, so that we discuss those subjects which the youth would like discussed in these sittings, and so that your 1 hour spent here becomes each evening a useful hour to take away with you. I do not propose, and I'm sure you will forgive me for this, I do not propose to repeat anything said last year. Because last year, when we were discussing about Imam Hassan alayhi salam, we discussed the fadila of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And in the course of it, we discussed the fadila of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because many a time the Holy Prophet mentioned of the one grandson as he mentioned of the other grandson. And indeed, that hadith relating to them being the leaders of the youths of heaven contains reference to both of them, when the Holy Prophet said, Al-Hasanu wal-Husayn Sayyida Shababi Ahli Jannah. That Hassan and Hussein are the two leaders of the youths of heaven. True, he has also said separately. He has said separately, Al-Hasan Sayyidu Shababi Ahli Jannah. He has also said, Al-Husayn Sayyidu Shababi Ahli Jannah. And only as a preface, not as a specific item of fadila, only as a preface, remind you of that incident you know of so well, and which we shall discuss in its detail regarding the concept of it. But that hadith, only to prove the point of he singly being Sayyidu Shababi Ahli Jannah, that Arab comes to the Holy Prophet when Imam Hussein, still a little child, is in the laps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, very well known episode you all know of, and says to the Holy Prophet, Oh Messenger of Allah, I am married for years. I have no children. Can you pray for me that I may have a child? And the Holy Prophet says, why do you ask me to pray for you? Ask this child in my laps. Ask Hussein to pray for you. And the Arab says, Ya Rasulullah, he is only a child. Do I ask him? And the Holy Prophet says, yes, ask him. And when the Arab asks this little child for Allah to grant him a child, Imam Hussein alayhi salam's answer is, I have given you a child. You can see, at that age he expresses the authority that Allah had delegated to him. And when the Arab hears this, he turns to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, can I ask for a second child from him? And the Holy Prophet says, ask him. The Holy Prophet does not even answer that question. How can he? When Allah has delegated that wish to Hussein, how would the Holy Prophet interfere in that? And the Holy Prophet says, ask him. And the Arab asks Imam Hussein, can you get me two children from Allah? And Imam Hussein says, yes, I have. And the number keeps increasing. I do not say human greed, although in those days the number of children you had was perhaps as important as the number of zeros we have in our bank balances today. Truly the ayah of Quran says, Al-malu wal-banoon zinatul hayatid dunya. And he proceeded to ask for more and more. The figure reached 9. And when the figure rises 9, the Arab was pleased. And he says, Yabna Rasulillah, I not only thank you, but I will always remain grateful to you. And I will always pray for you. That Arab then turns round to the Prophet and says, may Allah bless you for having had a child of this magnitude, of this authority, of this piety, who can grant me these children. And the Holy Prophet says, yes, live to see that comes true. And I need hardly tell you how it did come true. But one can see the authority then expressed by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The Arab then turns round as he is about to leave and says to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, has this little child so much authority in the eyes of Allah? Has Allah given him so much strength? And the Holy Prophet says to him that, O Arab, Al-Husayn, Sayyidu Shababi Ahlil Jannah. He was alone on the laps of the Prophet. And that is when the hadith that we talk about is developed, that the Holy Prophet said, not only this authority that you are talking about, of just the little children, but of giving you 9 children, but the authority that he has is that he will be the leader of all the youths of heaven. Whomsoever he leads to heaven will find heaven. Whomsoever he does not lead to heaven will not taste heaven. That is the authority that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been proved to have had at the very lips of the Holy Prophet. The question we ask tonight, and we shall keep asking every night, inshallah, is, do the Muslims of today believe in their Holy Prophet? Do they believe that the Holy Prophet was a true prophet from Allah? If they do, then they must believe the words of the Holy Prophet. And they must know that if they do not believe and accept as true the words of the Holy Prophet, that moment, no later, that moment, they cease to be Muslims. They cease to be Muslims. And hence the importance of accepting the words of the Holy Prophet as authentic and as fully truthful. Well, just having mentioned that particular hadith, as in contradistinction to the hadith given when both of them were present with the Holy Prophet, and giving you the authority for the proposition that together they may be leaders of the youths of heaven, but singly and severally they were also leaders of the youths of heaven. And so is Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his personal right, in his personal authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, having said that, I do not wish to repeat any of those ahadith from eminent senior companions that I set out last year to you. The hadith, for example, from Umar, and only to remind you without going into details, when Umar bin Khattab finds the Holy Prophet out on the Eid day with two sons, Imam Hassan on one shoulder, Imam Hussein on two shoulders, and Umar says their legs were on the chest of the Holy Prophet, and Umar turns round to the children and says, "What beautiful ride you have." And the Holy Prophet turns to him and says, "Oh Umar, do not say what a beautiful ride you have. Turn round to them and tell them what beautiful riders you are." And that comes from Umar bin Khattab. He says that is what the Holy Prophet said to him. That is the level of this personality we will discuss this evening. But even his birth was a momentous moment. Actual date of birth is a subject of controversy as to exactly when it happened. But it is renowned from all the authorities that he was born on the 3rd of Sha'ban on a Thursday, the 4th year after Hijrah. But when he was born, fantastic things happened. And I will not cite Shiite sources to you, because if I cite Shiite sources, we may be subject to criticisms. But I'd like to cite to you the work of Muhibbuddin Tabari. And in his work, in his Khadira, he says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam at his birth was born when the pregnancy was only 6 months old. And Tabari says that there are only two people who were ever born alive in 6 months pregnancy only. One was Isa ibn Maryam and the second was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Other authorities say it was not Musa, it was not Isa ibn Maryam, but it was Yahya ibn Zakariya. Insofar as Yahya ibn Zakariya is concerned, we shall come back to him, inshallah, in the later nights. Perhaps, if not earlier on Shabbat Ashur, and we shall discuss about Yahya ibn Zakariya. He too, it was said, was born just in a 6 month pregnancy. But whatever you say, whether it was Isa ibn Maryam, whether it was Yahya ibn Zakariya, you are mentioning two eminent prophets of the Holy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them clearly from Ulul Azm Anbiya. You can see that is the level at which the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes place. And when he is born, when he is born in those circumstances, then according to Hamwini, and Hamwini sets this out in his own leading book, Faraid al-Simtain, leading Sunni source. He says that the moment Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born in the household of the Prophet to his illustrious daughter Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha, Allah ordered the fire of hell to be extinguished. And when the officer of hell turned round to Allah and says, "Oh Allah, shall I extinguish the fire or only reduce its heat?" Allah says, "Extinguish the fire." And he says, "Oh Allah, can we know in what celebration this is?" And he says, that Fatima, the daughter of my holy messenger, has had the son Hussein born of him. That is the level. I say this on this first sitting, because I want to say something different in the last sitting, that is Shabbat Ashur. I hope I will then say to you how the Shafa'ah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam will work. I hope by then we will be discussing the philosophy of mourning, the philosophy of weeping. Why do we do that? Is that a bid'ah? And should the youth do that or not? Should he do it publicly or not? And at that time I will say that the reward for that mourning is Jannah. The reward for that is heaven. Amal Saleh is what we live for. But the greatest Amal Saleh is to remember the suffering of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and to live according to his life. Well, I wish to say that at the end of our sittings, at the beginning of our sitting, I want to say that how Allah, nearly at the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, before Imam Hussein alayhi salam has performed any of those acts of sacrifices, before he even gave up his life for Allah, Allah, already knowing what is to come, orders the fire of hell to be extinguished. What wonder then that the fire of hell should be extinguished for those for whom Imam Hussein alayhi salam should say that these should not go to hell. We discussed the shafa'ah, the right of shafa'ah of his mother last year. This year, inshallah, the rights of his shafa'ah as set out by the Holy Prophet himself, and not from a'imma. We shall discuss a'imma from our internal angle. But for the benefit of Muslims at large, what the Holy Prophet himself had to say on this score. But this leading sunnah source, as I said, Faraidu Simtain sets out how the fire of hell was extinguished. I said there were a number of controversies on the dates of the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why then do we follow the recognized date of the 3rd of Shaban? We do that because we rely, as Sayyid ibn Tawus relied and Shaykh Tusi alayhi rahmah relied on the what is called tawqir of the 12th Imam ajjalallahu farajahu himself. It is said that a tawqir came from the 12th Imam alayhi salam to Shaykh Qasim Hamadani. He was the wakil of the 11th Imam alayhi salam, and to that wakil of the 11th Imam alayhi salam, in answer to the question from him, the 12th Imam said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born on a Thursday on the 3rd of Shaban in the year 4 after Hijrah. But the moment he is born, and we get this, and this is well reported by Sheikh Sadduq alayhi rahmah, and reported by Sheikh Babawaya, both of them have reported this in detail and followed by a number of other ulama, finding their sources to be authentic. They say that soon after the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet asks Asma bint Umays and says, "Oh Asma, bring that little child to me." And when the child is brought to the Holy Prophet himself recites the adhan in the right ear of this newly born child and the iqama in the left ear of this little child. You can imagine what consequences that would have had, that Allahu Akbar said in that ear of the newly born by the very authority who taught us those words, Allahu Akbar. By the very personality who brought that concept to the earth when people were worshipping idols, that very sound by which he started Islam is now triggered and into the ears of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the Holy Prophet Asma says, having recited the adhan and the iqama, immediately pauses and says, "Asma, I'm receiving a revelation. Jibreel is coming down." So Asma said, "I retreated," and after a while returned. And the Holy Prophet said, "Yes, Jibreel had descended from Allah to bring me congratulations from Allah on the birth of my grandson." And he said, "O Messenger of Allah, what will you name him?" And he said, "I await the command of Allah in this respect." This was not a child to be named in the earthly manner. Not a child to be named as any other child would be named on earth. He would be given that name which Allah has decided for him. And the Holy Prophet awaits that command. And the Holy Prophet is told by Jibreel that Allah says that Ali is to you as Aaron was to Moses, as Harun was to Musa. A hadith we have fully discussed 3 years ago. So, name him as was named the second son of Harun. He is the second son of your vicegerent. Name him as the second son was named. So the Holy Prophet says, "What was the second son named?" And Jibreel says that the second son of Harun was named Shabir. But because you are not of Hebrew language, you are of Arabic language, the equivalent of that word Shabir in Arabic would be Hussein. So it is Allah's pleasure that he should be named Hussein. So you can see that every time we mention that name, particularly in our matam, and when we say Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, it is not a name to be mentioned in an idle way. It is not a name to be mentioned entirely as a routine utterance. It is a name of spiritual cognizance, a name descended onto the Holy Prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this illustrious personality that became the leader of martyrs. And then the Holy Prophet starts crying. Immediately he starts crying. Asma says, Ya Rasulullah, this is not a time to cry. A child has been born in our household. It's a time of joy. It's a time of jubilation. Why are you crying? And the Holy Prophet said, Asma, Jibreel also reminded me of what will fall on this beloved child of mine. What will come over him? And so Asma says, Ya Rasulullah, will there be any category of people who will even dare harm him? And the Holy Prophet says, yes. They will claim to be people belonging to my Ummah. And these are very important words of the Holy Prophet. He says there will be people who will claim that they will be belonging to my Ummah. In fact, there will be kuffar. There will be heathens. There will be people who will not even recognize Allah. They will not recognize me. They will not be truly recognizing me as the true prophet from Allah. And they are the people who will set out to kill him. And they will kill him in a desert at a time when he will be thirsty. And Asma says, when I just heard those words from the Holy Prophet, I could not resist myself, and I started crying, and tears came out of my eyes. This is at the very birth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. What bid'ah are we talking about? What innovation are we being criticized for? This is now the Holy Prophet as the Zakir himself. He himself was crying. And that listener, Asma, was crying. Both of them were crying, and both were crying on the afflictions of Imam Hussain alayhi salam 60 years before the event even took place. And the Holy Prophet then says two very important things which I wish to emphasize in this very first sitting, although inshallah at the end of the sittings we will come to that very discussion once again, and I shall remind you inshallah of this sitting when we discuss this, so that we do not spend time saying the same thing again. Then the Holy Prophet says to Asma, O Asma, if you wish to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of grace and in a state in which you will receive favor from Allah, do cry and do weep on Imam Hussain alayhi salam even before these sufferings take place on him. That will bring you good fortune when you go back. And secondly, O Asma, curse those who will bring such afflictions on Imam Hussain alayhi salam even before these afflictions take place, because I too send curse on them before even they have done these acts that will be perpetrated by them. Well, la'na is a subject by itself. But the youth is a little embarrassed. He says, who are we? Who are we to curse others? Allah will judge. Of course Allah will judge. But the youth must be cautious that argument that Allah will judge is exactly the argument that the ulama of the court of Muawiyah, the court of Banu Umayyah, created that logic, saying, who are we to judge? Allah will judge. And that is the argument that is being put forward today and has been put forward for centuries, but is also being put forward today. Between the companions, we are told, why say Ali is superior to others? Who are we to judge between companions? Allah will judge between them. Well, do we shut our eyes to what is real, to what is true? And we shall discuss this point in greater detail as we discuss the speeches of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because in his speeches Imam Hussain alayhi salam has dealt with this subject. What do we do? Do we shut our eyes to what the Holy Prophet has said, only so that we do not judge between companions, even if the result of that is that we do not go back to Allah in a state in which we will receive salvation? And we bear this in mind when the Holy Prophet said that after me, my Ummah will be divided in 73 divisions. Only one of them will be on the right path. It is so important, therefore, to determine who was on the right path. If different companions were on different paths, and only one path will go to heaven, then only one companion was on the right path, and we have to judge now, before we are judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the Holy Prophet says to Asma, O Asma, weep on the afflictions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and curse those who will bring about these afflictions. But Asma, Fatima has just given birth to this child. Do not tell Fatima what I have told you. We shall reveal this to Fatima when the time comes. 7 days later, Asma says, exactly 7 days later, I was in the house of Fatima salamullahi alayha, and the Holy Prophet came and asked for the child again. And on the seventh day, he carried out both the aqiqah and waved the hair and gave so much silver in charity and also made the sacrifice. And the moment he finished that, again the Holy Prophet sat and cried again. And Asma says, this time I also sat and cried, following exactly the footsteps of the Holy Prophet, just as he told me 7 days ago what Jibreel told him and how I should behave in that way. Asma's lesson to us, and therefore I want to put it at the very first night of our meeting, Asma's lesson to us is that we cry on Imam Hussein not only because he deserves it, not only because that is just, but because that is what the Holy Prophet did. It is not bid'ah, it is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet. He did it again and again, and we have to do it again and again, only to be following that sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And what are we talked about on Lanat? I do not profess that I am talking on that subject tonight, because if I did, it would be a sitting by itself. And I wish to proceed tonight on the Fadila of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But if one were to consider the question of Lanat, and I've had once occasion to talk about it in the Rizvi College on Shabbat Ashur, if one were to consider the question of Lanat, then again, it is something that the Holy Prophet did. And he continued to do it all his life in respect of those. I'm only talking in the context of those who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam, not generally. Even in that context, he kept saying so again and again and again in the whole of his lifetime. But the fadila of Imam Hussein alayhi salam became manifest, not only do I say when the fire of hell was extinguished, it becomes manifest in the way angels behaved. Not only were angels in heaven celebrating, but when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born, and this is so well known that I do not wish to take long over it, it's a hadith you must have heard many times. Great reasons. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born and the angels were celebrating the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the heavens, this is why I say to the youth, do not stay at home on the eve of the 3rd of Shaban, come to this center. Because celebrating the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a great event. It is an event which the angels celebrated in heavens. They celebrated the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why do we want to be deprived of it? Why do we want to be deprived of that great occasion of great joy? But when they were celebrating it, Allah pleased with them, ordered Jibreel to come down on earth to congratulate congratulate the Holy Prophet, and said, O Jibreel, pick 1,000 angels who you like, who you think are the happiest of those who are celebrating the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so that they too can come down and congratulate the Holy Prophet. So the angels descended. You can see the event is not, it is not just a mythological story that we put forward. It is a reality, and hence it shows the great significance that lies behind the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is not an episode merely to be narrated, but the lesson from it is that the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a matter of celebration by the angels, because the angels knew better what would happen next. These are the angels who, when Adam was created, turned to Allah and said, "Are you creating man who will only bring about bloodshed and mischief in the world?" They are the angels who now celebrate the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What wonder that we turn round each Laylatul Jum'ah and salute Imam Hussein alayhi salam, saying, "Assalamu alayka ya waritha Adam sifwatillah." Our salutation to you, O one who is the heir of Adam. What Adam could not achieve from the angels, that the angels criticize his birth, those very angels are celebrating the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because they knew the worth of it. And if only man now knew the worth of himself. And this is well reported. It's reported by Sheikh Sadduq alayhi rahma. It's reported by Sheikh Tusi, by Ibn Babawaya, that as he was coming down on an island, he meets an angel called Fitrus. Heard of him already. Fitrus was an angel who, he did not disobey Allah, because angels cannot disobey Allah, but he was a little slow in carrying out orders given by Allah. And as a result of the laxness on his part, he was punished by his wings being removed from him. He was given an option of being punished in this world or being punished in the hereafter. He preferred to be punished in the world. So the wings were removed and he was thrown onto an island, so that he receives the punishment of this world and not of the hereafter. And deported, as it were, onto that island, he remained there. But he remained there worshipping Allah and repenting for his sin, if you call it a sin, perhaps in technical words. However, it is said that he remained worshipping Allah for 700 years. And it is after that he sees Jibreel on this occasion coming down with this army of 1,000 angels, all in celebration and jubilation. So he stops Jibreel and says, "Oh Jibreel, what is all this about? Where are you going? What is this jubilation for?" And Jibreel says, "Fitrus, a grandson has been born in the household of the last messenger of Allah, and Allah is so pleased about that occasion, and this son is so illustrious that Allah has asked us all to go and convey his congratulations to his messenger. We will convey Allah's congratulations and we will convey our congratulations. And we feel fortunate that Allah should have given us this occasion to do so." When angels consider that occasion fortunate, why are we men thinking any less of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his birth? Particularly if we call ourselves Muslims. However, Fitrus replies immediately, "Oh Jibreel, do you mind taking me along? 700 years I'm repenting. I haven't seen the result of this punishment. Maybe when I congratulate the Holy Prophet, he will pray for my forgiveness and I will become one of you again." As Jibreel says, "Jump onto my wing and I will carry you." What happens next, I do not promise. You make your appeal, plea to the Holy Prophet yourself. And when Fitrus comes down and everybody congratulates the Holy Prophet, and one can see that example of the 9 children repeating itself on this occasion too. That was an occasion of dealing with men. This is an occasion of dealing with an angel. When Fitrus congratulates the Holy Prophet, he says to him, "O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, for a fault of mine, I have lost my wings, as you can see. This is a day of jubilation for you. Can you pray for me?" And this is what the Muslims would ask us to do. "Can you pray for me that I should get my wings back and I should be restored to the level of my these other colleagues?" The Holy Prophet could have prayed for him. He could easily have prayed for him. And this is what the Muslims say to us. Ask the Prophet to pray to Allah for you. This is all you can do. Anything else is bid'ah. The Holy Prophet now teaches the angel. And teaches the angel this, says, "Oh, Fitrus, rub your body against that cradle of Hussein and your wings will come back." You do not even have to pray to Hussein. Just newly born child. No wonder we have discussed in 1997, I think, when Nabi Isa was born, how he spoke, how he cleared the sanctity of his mother, what ayats of Quran talked about him. This is one personality about him. In that Ziyarat-e Waris we say, "Assalamu alayka ya waritha Isa ruhillah." O one who is the heir of Isa, our salutations to you. And there we are, he acts further than Isa. This is an angel in problem. He rubs his body where the wings were against the cradle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The wings immediately come back. They do not take moments, they instantly come back. Now, the Holy Prophet again showed, ask Hussein directly. And you do not have to ask him. Just rub your body against that zari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That cage, that cradle in which Imam Hussein alayhi salam was on that day is replaced by what is in Karbala today. That zari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is what embodies the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the live body. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Do not even think that those who have died in the path of Allah are dead, they are alive. Surah Al-Imran, verse 168. And we've discussed this ayah in 1995 in our sittings. Those were in the Rizvi College. That zari then embodies the body of Imam, the live body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We rub our bodies to that zari, the result is the same. And if the zari is too far away, enough to rub your body against the replica of the zari as it comes out on the day of Ashura or on any other day. I say this because merely rubbing his body with that cradle restored to the wings of this angel, and he was able to fly away. But before he flies, and this is the reason I wish to give, he stops and says, "Ya Rasulullah, how can I be more grateful to you and to your grandson for this great gift that I have got? That which might have kept me on that island for years is now all resolved by this simple act that you have taught me. I, on my part, will do two things for you, O Messenger of Allah, and I will devote the rest of my life doing that." Ya Rasulullah, when somebody sends salawat to you and to your grandson, to either of you, I will make sure that that salawat reaches from the lips of that mu'min right to yourself and right to your grandson. This is the significance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that the angel would say, and this is the point which I wish to emphasize, for which I set out this hadith, which you must have heard so many times before, of Fitrus. He made those two promises, the first of which was that salawat that we sent on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or on the Holy Prophet and his progeny. Fitrus promised the Holy Prophet he will make sure that salawat reaches. So important to us, because we do not believe that salawat would reach the Holy Prophet without him sending a salawat back to us. He never hears "Assalamu alaik" without saying "Wa alaik assalam." It is his own teaching. This is what he has taught us. And we are sure this is how he would behave. And the second thing that Fitrus said to the Holy Prophet was, says, "Ya Rasulullah, whenever somebody recites the ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this ziyarah we just recited after the mass, do not take it lightly. Ziyarat-e Waris on Laylatul Jum'ah has its own sawab, but deserves another day for discussion by itself. But even this ziyarah, do not take it lightly. Fitr says, when anybody will say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, if anybody will send a salam or ziyara to Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in gratitude, I will make sure that I pick up those words and reach them right to Imam Hussain alayhi salam himself. That is the fadila of the birth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He was born with that glory. But it is said that when he was born, Bibi Fatima to Zahra alayhi salam became unwell. She became unwell, so unwell, that she could not breastfeed Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And two versions, the version we get from Ibn Shahri Ashub is that the Holy Prophet and Bibi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha did not wish him to be nurse-fed by another nurse. No wet nurse was to be employed. According to Kulaini alayhi rahma, he says Imam Hussain alayhi salam did not accept the breast of any other lady, any other wet nurse. Whatever the truth, the net result is unanimously accepted by all historians that the Holy Prophet was informed of this. He immediately comes to the house of Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, and again two versions. One version is he puts his tongue into the mouth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The other version is he puts his tongue into the mouth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and from those limbs of the Holy Prophet, Imam Hussain alayhi salam got his nourishment for 40 days, according to another hadith 50, but for at least 40 days, Imam Hussain alayhi salam received his sustenance entirely from that body of the Holy Prophet himself. You can see the truth builds of the words now. Lahmuka lahmi wa damuka dami. Your flesh, O Hussein, the Holy Prophet says, your flesh is my flesh, your blood is my blood. Because that is how the flesh and blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was formed, physically, by being transmitted from the Holy Prophet to that unto the body of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And this is how that child develops. And as he was a little child and he kept developing, the Holy Prophet made sure that fadila of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is made known to the Ummah in clear words, in no ambiguous words at all. And again, I will not quote for the rest of this evening, I will not quote Sheikh Sadduq or Sayyid ibn Tawus or Sheikh Tusi. I will only now cite to you Sunnite sources, and there are in plenty who discuss these matters in plenty. Khwarizmi, for example, in his Tarjumat al-Husayn fi Tariq Madinatul Damashq says about Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he reports a leading Sunnite source which I have quoted again and again last year and the year before. He quotes Salman al-Farsi saying that the Holy Prophet brought Imam Hussain alayhi salam in the mosque in Medina, and in the mosque, as the people were gathered, he held this little child in his hands and says, and turns around to him and says, Anta Sayyid Ibn Sayyid Abu Sada, you are yourself a Sayyid. Your father is a Sayyid. You are the father of a Sayyid, and you are a father of Sadat. And indeed, what Sayyid exists, with all respect to the Sayyid in front of me, what Sayyid exists today, who will not agree that he's a Husseini? He may call himself a Radhawi, he may call himself a Naqawi, he may call himself a Taqawi. In essence, he is a Husseini, because there is where it ends. And this is what the Holy Prophet says, that you are the father of all Sayyids. And then he turns around and says, Anta Imam, Abul Imam, Abul A'immah, that you are yourself an Imam. How can there be any doubt about that left anymore? This is in Sunnite sources, that you are an Imam, and that you are a father of Imam. That is the fourth Imam, whom we shall discuss next year, inshaAllah wa ta'ala, if Allah will so will, and grant us that good fortune. Proves that the fourth Imam was also an Imam. He says, Anta Imam, Abul Imam, you are a father of him. And this is from Salman, reported in this Sunnite source. And Abul A'imma, and you are the father of Imams to come. And we shall discuss that hadith of how it is the prerogative of Imam Hussain alayhi salam that imams come from his progeny. And thirdly, he says, "Anta hujjah," you are the proof of Allah. Abu al-Hujjah, and you are the father of a Hujjah. And Abu al-Hujjaj, and you are father of a number of proofs of Allah. And then says, Tissa'ahum, they are nine in all. Tasi'ahum, qa'imuhum, they are nine in all. And the ninth of them will be the qa'im. Ajjalallahu farajahu. That hadith, that there will be nine imams after Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and the ninth of them, that is the 12th in number, will be the Qaim, was set out by the Holy Prophet in that mosque right at the birth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Right at the birth of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And reported in Sunnite sources. And this hadith regarding Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Sunnite sources is in abundance. If a leading reporter is Abu Huraira, then Abu Huraira says, and you will find this in Tanji Shafi'i, his book, Tanji Shafi'i says that Abu Huraira has said that I was once in a garden behind the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet left the garden and I followed him. And when I followed him, he left the garden and I left the garden too. Suddenly we saw Hussein, a little child, coming right from the opposite. And the Holy Prophet immediately catches Imam Hussain alayhi salam, hugs him and holds him up. Having held him up, turns to Allah and says, "Oh Allah, I love this boy. He's very dear to me. You love him too. Make sure that he's dear to you as well." Abu Huraira says, "I was so much impressed, so much influenced by those words of the Holy Prophet, that he's saying he loves the child and wants Allah to love the child. Well, if the Holy Prophet prays to Allah, wouldn't Allah accept that prayer?" He says, "I have been so impressed by that, that never since that day, have I loved anybody more than Hussein. Never have I loved anybody more than a Hussein." This is a companion of the Prophet saying it. Where is the bid'ah in us loving Hussein? We are only doing what the Holy Prophet taught us. And Bukhari reports this. Bukhari reports this from Alal bin Marra. Says that the Holy Prophet was in the mosque in Medina. And he said those, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes, he expresses those famous words that are on your lips, when the Holy Prophet said, "Husaynun minni wa ana min al-Husayn, Allahumma ahabbul Husayn, O Allah, I love Husayn, you love him too." And then Bukhari says this companion goes further to say that the Holy Prophet then turns around and says, "Allah yuhibbullah man ahabbal Husayn, Allah loves him who loves Husayn." It is not merely the question of the Holy Prophet loving Hussein. It is not merely the question of Allah loving Hussein, but it is the question of even those who love Hussein, like you sitting here. Even before perhaps the moon has sighted, those who love Hussein are loved by Allah, in the words of the Holy Prophet himself, reported by Bukhari. And this is not a hadith only reported by Bukhari. All the Sahih Sitta reported. Ibn Majah reports it in Sunan Ibn Majah at page 51. He reports exactly this hadith. You will find this hadith, apart from Bukhari and Ibn Majah, you will find it in Hakim. You will find it in Harzami. You will find it in Muslim. All these books set out this particular hadith of the Holy Prophet, that Wallahu yuhibbu man ahabba al-Husayn. Allah loves him who loves Hussein. When all this was said, in Masjid al-Nabawi, in the very mosque of the Holy Prophet, by the Holy Prophet himself, how was it possible then that Ummah should contemplate killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam? And killing Imam Hussein alayhi salam for what? Probably because he did not make the bay'ah of Yazid. We shall discuss that aspect perhaps on the fourth or fifth night during this sitting. But I wish to ask you only one question in retrospect. We examined the bay'ah of Imam Ali, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And you remember my saying that even in that sitting, when Talha and Zubair came to make bay'ah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, there were at least 11 leading personalities of the time who did not make the bay'ah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we discussed their names. And discussing the freedom and the political freedom that existed at that time, here today in India, like us in Britain, you cannot become the citizen of India unless you take your oath of allegiance. And you cannot become the citizen of the United States, the mother of democracies, unless you take the oath of allegiance. You cannot become the citizen of United Kingdom unless you take the oath of allegiance of Her Majesty. But in the reign and in the Khilafah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, there were people who publicly refused to make bay'ah of Imam Ali alayhi salam and remain as equal citizens of that commonwealth of Muslims. That is the democracy taught by Islam, and that is the democracy taught by Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muawiyah did not make bay'ah, and Muawiyah, upon the martyrdom of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, did not seek the bay'ah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Who was Yazid to seek the bay'ah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? And from where does this principle come that if one refuses to make bay'ah, he should be killed? Apart from the words of Marwan on that particular night, or perhaps the words of Umar bin Khattab when Imam Ali alayhi salam refused to make the bay'ah of Abu Bakr, which we discussed last year already. But where does this principle otherwise arise? The words of Umar bin Khattab were superseded by the action of Imam Ali, because Imam Ali did not kill those who did not make his bay'ah. How does this question arise? But Walid says to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I have been asked for your bay'ah, and Marwan says kill him if he does not. Imam Hussein alayhi salam leaves that particular palace on that night and immediately comes to the grave of the Holy Prophet. This grave in the very mosque in which the Holy Prophet says of Imam Hussein, Anta Imam, Ibnul Imam, Abul A'immah, you are an Imam yourself. How can anybody seek your bay'ah? Anta Hujjah Ibnul Hujjah, you are the son of Hujjah, you are yourself Hujjah. How can anybody seek bay'ah from him? He comes to the grave of the Holy Prophet and says, Oh my grandfather, they are now seeking bay'ah from me. But if I refuse to make bay'ah, they are threatening to kill me. The time has come, oh my grandfather, when I leave your grave, there is nothing more precious, nothing more sacred, nothing that I love more in this world than your grave. I've always been on your graveside. I've always been your mujahid. But now, the Ummah has put me in a state in which I have to depart from your grave. You be my help in this particular condition. He then almost has a few wings on the grave of the Holy Prophet. He sees the Holy Prophet in his dream, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam spreads his arms, the Holy Prophet hugs Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Imam says, oh my grandfather, why don't you take me along with you in this grave? I would be spared all this. I can then be spared of all these afflictions. Zainab and Umayyad will be spared of these afflictions. Let me sleep with you in this very grave. And the Holy Prophet says, oh Hussein, has your 18 years old Akbar already been slaughtered by the enemies? Has Asghar, your 6 months old child, darted with arrows in the hand? Oh Hussein, has your daughter Sakina already come to your body? Has Zainab and has Umay Kulthum had their hands tied? Oh Hussein, all these are conditions for your coming back to me. But Hussein, I will be with you throughout, and throughout your journey I will be with you. In your sacrifice will Islam be saved. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة.